Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Newton's Nuggets. Me and Jesse have been in the studio for well over an hour to record the 5 minute start of this show.
Luckily, my wife doesn't listen to the show, so she won't know that.
Yeah, she won't know that, you know, you're running late because we've been doing research into stupid things that we're going to do in the future. It's all good. It's
you
all
mean
good.
Brilliant things for the future.
Amazing things, mate. Some of those ideas. I really do. So, the show, it's this show, you know, the weird show where you listen on the podcast to the bloke who wears a trilby. And even though most of you listen on the podcast rather than watching YouTube, I still wear the trilby. It works.
The listeners can hear the difference.
Can they?
Yeah.
Can they? Do you know what? You're my technical guy, so I believe you.
Wow, the power.
Wow, belief levels. We talked about that earlier as well. Today's show, we've got an amazing guy. I've known him for a few years now. He's a hypnotherapist. He thinks a bit differently. And you know what? It lines up really nicely after last week's show with Duncan. Because actually, the last 3 weeks, Jesse, they kind of line up really well together because they're all talking about people and how to empower people and how to get the most out of people in a way that people will be happy to be at their best. I'm really quite chuffed with this month's.
Yeah. It's been a really good look after yourself few weeks, hasn't it?
And do you know what? I think, especially England, to the listeners in other countries, sorry, I don't live in your country. I don't know how it feels over there. But in England, I think we need this right now. We kind of need to have a bit of a, hold on, stop. How are you doing moment? Yeah. And do you know what? If you've got friends you're worried about, ask them how they are. And when they turn around and say, I'm fine, but how are you really?
Yeah.
And listen to their answer. So many people out there need a helping hand. So,
before we go into it, because I know a lot of people sort of trail off towards the end when you and I are chatting at the end of the video.
Mate, I'm impressed anyone that goes past 30 seconds in us, to be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly. So before we get started with this one, if you're listening on the day of release, that's the 18th of August, 2021. This is your last chance to leave a review on either via the front page of the website, newtonsnuggets.com and .co.uk, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we got both. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Newtonsnuggets.com, definitely. If you just scroll down to start a couple of things from the top, there's a form on the front of the page. Leave us a review. Or if you're listening on iTunes or have access to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, you can leave a review there. One of those two places. At the end of today, we're closing it off, and anybody up to that point who's left a review, we're going to pull a name out of a hat and give a copy of the first of our three Look After Yourself guests, the Culture Guy.
The Culture Guy.
Yeah, so we're giving that, and there may be a few other little things, so it's well worthwhile. Just see what you can do. Leave us a review. We want nice reviews, preferably, please. Love you.
I mean, Jesse has just convinced me to buy some extra stuff to give out with that prize. So, you know, there's a few things that there's only going to be like a couple of them ever made, and you might get some of them. So shout, today is the last day, midnight, we're calling it. We're stopping at midnight tonight. That's your warning. Hurry up. All good?
Yeah.
Perfect. Ladies and gents, here's Paul Hill.
Newton's Nuggets.
So, this advert is about only networking. That's theonly.network. Theonly.network. Now, it's business networking, but not as you know it. They've shaken up business networking by making it more about the people and less about the boring. Seriously, I go along to these network events. They're really great. They're run by really nice people. Every single group they have has people that want to love you and hug you and look after you. It just feels different. And you know what? If you go to one of their events, you might even bump into some dodgy bloke in a trilby and he'll look after you as well. Go and have a look at their website. It really is an awesome network to be part of. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Right, we've already warned you that we've got one of my buddies coming on the show. And actually, he's just reminded me that, do you know what? He feels like one of my oldest buddies. I can chat to this guy far too long about almost anything. And I think we have chatted about most subjects. But we've only known each other a few years. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the amazing Mr. Paul Hill. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Absolutely splendid. Paul, thanks very much for inviting me on your world-renowned show.
mate, flattery will get you everywhere, okay? Thank especially you. Where my nuggets are concerned.
Mm.
Awesome.
so many jokes, so little time.
So, mate, last interview I did, we did like 20 bad nuggets gags before we even started the show. It was just not good. It wasn't right. So, Paul, I've warned you about a couple of the questions I'm going to ask you. And yep. The first one is always the one that I think is the weirdest or the most difficult. But it is, who are you and why should people listen to me and you chat for the next 30 minutes or so?
Okay, so my name's Paul Hill. I'm a hypnotherapist, NLP practitioner, and a mental health first aider. Why should you listen to Paul Newton and I? Because there are going to be nuggets that come out right the way throughout the show. Some of them will come and blindside us because of the way we talk. Some of them I've got sort of maybe rehearsed in my head, but there's always something to learn from a conversation from Paul and I about mental health. Here's the thing, if you Google mental health, you'll see all sorts of things about, like there'll be a picture of a brain and it'll be like catastrophic language coming out. You Google physical health and there'll be people in the gym smiling and happy. We have this thing about mental health. And my mission, along with Paul's, is to change the attitude about mental health. It's about mental fitness because we all have mental health. You don't just mention the word mental health and think bad.
You know what, mate? The last three interviews we've had, we've concentrated on people and how people can do so much better and how if you get the culture right. We had Mr. Benjuri on.
Fantastic.
Culture within businesses, and if you get that right, it'll help people want to be there more and want to be more and want to and you just sit if we can and we've had Duncan as well, and he was talking about mental health and why is it whenever people say mental health you think depression and anxiety, you never think happiness, joy. It just doesn't make sense. It's exactly what you just said. If somebody talks to me about physical health, I think of somebody riding a bicycle through lovely fields with the sun blazing down, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think, oh, look, he just broken his leg and he's sat in hospital. Why are we conditioned to go the worst way possible in our own heads when we say mental health?
It's very simple because we have this thing called a negativity bias, okay? You can Google it, negativity bias. You put positive bias and people won't get it. Negativity bias. It's why people drive along the motorway and they see an accident and they'll slow down to have a look. It's like, oh, I wonder what we can see. Now, here's the thing. I do a talk called It's Not Your Fault, But It Is Your Responsibility. It's not your fault that you think that way. But once you know that you think that way, how about changing it? How about changing it?
Okay, so understand we're allowed to think that way and we do think that way. But once you recognize it as a grown adult who makes their own choices, then it's down to you how you deal with it.
Absolutely, 100%. As a human being, we're born with two things, a fear of falling over and a fear of loud noises. That's it. Everything else is learned behavior.
Right. You know, I've got little one and she's turning 13 this month, okay? But still, one of the scariest moments I had as a dad was when she's a little tiny baby and we went into the doctors and the doctor's doing the arm movements are okay, leg movements are okay. And then he picked up my daughter and he went, I'm going to warn you both now, you're going to hate me for this. And he looked at me and went, please don't punch me. And he dropped her, you know, done the quick drop, but didn't actually drop her. But, you know, still had her held, but he shot his arm down quickly while still holding her.
Yep.
And my daughter, who, you know, can't even communicate with us, she just flung her arms out trying to stop herself from going.
Absolutely.
So somebody talks about we don't come into this world with fears. Yes, you do.
Yep. Those are the two.
Yeah.
Those are the two. Everything else is learned behavior. You know, you get somebody that's scared of spiders, it could be something as simple as they're 2 years old, they're playing on the kitchen floor with their mum opens the cupboard door, goes, oh my God, there's a spider. That's it. Job done.
Mate, I've got two that that good friends of mine have. I'm pretty sure they don't listen to my show because they probably go, it's Paul Newton. He'll just be messing about. But one is spiders. I mean, to the point that if she sees a spider on a picture on Facebook, she used to freak out. And the other one is mice. This girl just freaks out about mice, but gerbils are cute. So they're both about that big. They've both got long tails. They both look like rodents. One is cute, one is squeaky. The reason is, and I know this, that her mum, as a kid, used to freak out about mice. And they lived in a semi-rural area, so there would always be mice in the garage or in the car. Right.
It's learned behaviour. The great thing about learned behaviour is you can unlearn it. And that's one of the greatest messages you can get, that anything about learned behaviour, you can unlearn it.
So how do you see unlearning? Do you see it as picking away, or do you see it as removing of barriers, or do you see it as something completely different, and I'm talking rubbish?
If you go to your thoughts determine your feelings determine your actions determine your results. To change the thoughts, you have to go to the programming. You change the programming, that changes the thoughts, that changes the feelings, that changes the actions, that changes the results. So you go to the programming and say, why is it that that person reacts in this way? And if you've got emotion, if you take emotion away from something, it just becomes an event in your history. We know about Henry VIII having beheaded two of his wives.
Yeah.
You go, well, they beheaded two of their wives. What difference does it make to you? Unless you've seen something like that, you've been to Saudi Arabia, then you actually, and you go, oh my Lord, you've
then it'll bring back, it'll bring back the vividness and the feelings and the, and I don't know about you, but in memories, I find that colour brings the vividity. Is vividity, is that even a word? Did I just make
that'll do me.
Awesome. It makes it more vivid. We'll stop that. We'll do like 20 minutes just on if that's a word or not. But I do find in people's memories, the more colourful, the more vibrant it is, the more loud it is, the stronger the emotional attachment a lot of the time.
Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. And something I used to love doing, especially when somebody had a fearful memory, is you kind of take that memory, you remove them from being within it, so they come away from it and they look at it like they're looking at a big screen. Then you make it black and white. And then once you've convinced them that they're actually watching it on a screen, you can make them fast forward and reverse it.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, you've taken away loads of the emotion and given them control.
Yeah.
And mate, I'm meant to be talking with you about your thoughts on hypnosis.
Yeah, but that's an NLP technique that you can transform into a hypnotherapy technique. It's called a fast rewind, and it works really, really well because you're disassociating the person from what's actually going on the screen. Then you make it funny, and it just, then they attach a different emotion to it. I've seen people that are scared of heights, scared of, one guy was scared of the pucket end of sausages.
Really?
Go figure. What happened in his life?
Yeah, what?
Who knows?
Actually, I should stop thinking about what might have happened. I've just had a load of colourful things go through my head.
But the one thing that you get, so we, in NLP terms, we've all got our own map of the world. And you see someone that's scared of spiders or scared. You go, but surely if you did this, surely if you did that. Well, no, because you're talking from a point of view of logic. Emotion always trumps logic.
Yeah.
Always trumps logic.
And this is it. The girl that I mentioned with the spiders issue. Now, don't get me wrong, a slight fear of spiders is not necessarily a bad thing, because if you go to certain countries, you don't really want to make friends with some of them. But in the UK, she's pretty safe.
Yeah.
And with her, I used quite, for me, a slow technique, which was making her realise that if it's on the computer, it's just a screen. It's not the animal or the bug at all. And if it's on a picture, it's just a piece of paper or card. It's not the thing at all. So she's better, as in she can watch videos and she can look at them in pictures, and she can look at them in real life if they're behind glass.
Hmm.
Now, the fact is, past that, she can pretty much do anything now. And British household spiders, she doesn't even see them as scary now. So she's pretty good. She's all right.
I think it's determining with someone whether it's a fear or a phobia. I think it's determining with people if it's a fear or a phobia. Okay. And people, a lot of time, people are fearful of stuff. And as you said, for certain things, it's okay to be fearful, but a phobia is different because a phobia is when you change your daily routine to accommodate it. So someone who's fearful of spiders, if there was a spider across the top of your doorway, they might walk under it, you know, they might crawl, but someone who's got a phobia will go through the window.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are the ones that you need that really need the help. Fear is one of those things, because what's the acronym for fear? False evidence appearing real.
Yep. And if you can get people to understand that, you're magically on the journey already.
Absolutely. Human beings are so much more capable of sorting things out with their minds than they think possible. I'm a hypnotherapist, but I'm more of an educator.
Nice.
You know, when people come to see me, it's not just a case of, you know, waving a magic wand and boof, you're done, and don't explain it. They get the why they feel that way. And people want to know. They want to know why it is. And then when you get, forgetting phobias, but if you're talking about self-esteem issues or confidence or whatever, it's a lifestyle change. It's not just a case of come to see a hypnotherapist, you're done. I give my clients homework, because if they're 30 years old and they've got 30 years of beating themselves up, they need to spend 30 years, and it's not going to take 30 years to sort it, but they need to practice and practice and practice and practice, because you've been really good at telling yourself how rubbish you are for 30 years.
Yeah. Well, this is it. Food. I'm going to talk with you about food, and I'm going to talk about weight loss, because it's something that has affected me quite a lot throughout my life.
Yep.
And do you know what? Knowing the stuff I know that I can control my thoughts and my feelings around it, and I know that I can do this and I can do that. But the funny thing was, I still felt guilty and bad and naughty and stuff like that. And then I went to this doctor, and I talked to the doctor about it, and he goes, Paul, just stop for a second. I was like, what? And he said, you're 40. I went, yeah. And he goes, if you eat 200, maybe 250 extra calories in a day, nobody notices. I went, no. And he went, but over a week, that's a whole day's worth of extra calories. And I was like, yeah. And he went, so over a year, you've put on an extra 52 days worth of extra calories. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then he went, so over 40 years, that's a lot. And I was like, you're right. And he goes, don't expect to sort this out overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain, your body has thought that this is normal for 40 years.
Yep.
Don't expect it to just go and you're done.
Mm.
Okay.
And also, people need to understand the science behind it, Paul, because if you go on a calorie controlled diet, let's say, for instance, to maintain your body weight is 2000 calories and you religiously eat 2000 calories, but your mum told you that if you want to make sure your eyesight is good, you need to eat a carrot. And you think, right, well, a carrot, what's a carrot? So you have one carrot every day over your 2000, at the end of the year, you'll have put on half a stone. But a carrot is a healthy vegetable, isn't
it?
It's extra calories over and above the two. So you will have put on about half a stone.
And this is one of the things that I get with them. So that there are certain diets out there that have foods that they say, I'm not going to use the branded terms because I might get in trouble. These are 0 points or something on your system. Those people who do different ones of these will probably know which ones I'm pretending to say. And that's why I've got a problem with them, is because you go, well, no, nothing can be zero. A stick of celery has something in it. So why are you trying to teach me it's a zero? And then I just turn off of those things as well.
Yeah, I do.
But my weight loss is And I think something you said earlier about people and so many things coming back to self-esteem, and I think we talked about this before we actually started recording, so apologies to everyone that's listening, but Paul and I started talking about self-esteem and how it can help so many people in so many different ways. So do you think the whole weight loss thing is the same?
Absolutely. Whenever I get someone that comes to see me for weight loss, I say, you'll be pleased to know I'm 100% successful. They go, really? I say, yes, 80% of my clients lose weight. And then there's that split second where they go, hang on a minute, 80%? I say, yeah, because 20% of them find acceptance for who they are.
Oh, that's nice.
Because every single one of my weight loss clients, I work on how they see themselves and the self-esteem issues. And quite often they realize that they are beautiful or handsome or whatever, just the way they are. And they don't need to abide by convention. Yes, if there's an issue with regard to BMI or whatever, and there's a health concern, fair enough. But if you, I don't know, but back in the day when people used to swim the channel a lot, none of them were sylph-like.
No.
But they could swim the channel. I couldn't swim the channel. You've got to be fit to swim the channel.
Mate, I think the media view of healthy is kind of disgusting now.
Oh, mate. There was a song called Sunscreen by Baz Luhrmann back in 1996, I think it was. And one of the things I took out of that, I listen to it every week, is do not read beauty books because they will only make you feel ugly.
You know, right, this is going really off tangent now. I read an article today. And it was like 10 big Hollywood A-list celebrities who had been turned down for dresses on the red carpet because they were too big.
Mate, doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me.
Designers and all these fashion people, because in American sizes, they were saying only if you're a 0 or a 2, which I think in the UK is about a 6 or an 8. And my word, no. No.
My left leg is a 6, my right leg's an 8.
And when you add them together, mine make.
Now, the thing is, it's like when I got married to my lovely wife, okay, yeah. On our wedding day, I said,
I just want to butt in there, okay? I know your wife, and you're right, she is absolutely lovely.
Thank you. So when we got married, during my speech, I said, one gift I want to give you today, because she had issues with the way she looked, is to take my eyes for 24 hours and see yourself the way I see you. And I've used that for my male clients, my female clients, when they've got self-esteem issues, we'll pick on several words to describe them in the best possible way. And I would say, right, when you're having moments of doubt, just remember you can borrow my eyes, you don't have to ask, and just see yourself the way I have told you I see you until you start believing it and you see you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mate, internally, we talk ourselves down so much.
Yeah.
Jesse is one of the few people that know how much I talk myself down. And he's almost had a similar chat with me about the whole business stuff. He's kind of told me off for looking at my business the way that I see me.
Yeah.
Because other people don't see that.
No, they don't. Here's the thing. If at the end of this podcast, or we've had a chat, or whatever, you were to go home to if you're doing this from home, but you went into your living room and somebody had broken in and with a big tin of spray paint had written, Paul's a useless magician, he can't do a podcast to save his life, blah, 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 blah. Nothing's been stolen, so the police aren't interested. What's the first thing you would do with that room?
I'd get rid of that.
You'd redecorate, wouldn't you? Okay, so yeah, why do we allow people... Why do we allow people to spray paint the inside of our heads and not redecorate?
Wow. So thinking back to those stupid arguments you have as a kid, when really your self-esteem can take a massive battering and you listen to the bullies or the snide person or the girl who didn't want to go out with you.
Yep.
And that sticks. Yeah, you're right.
It's scary. It's scary. And we spend so much time worrying about what other people think of us all the time. Okay, other than yourself, who's the most important person in your life?
Jesse's just put his hand up.
No.
I feel I should say Jesse because he edits this.
All right, okay. So
really
let's say Jesse.
Bad at the end of this.
Just for argument's sake, let's say Jesse's the most important person in your life.
Yeah.
Since you got up this morning, how much time have you given over to thinking solely about Jesse? Not the fact that you're working together, but just think about him as the most important person in your life. In seconds, give me how many seconds.
I don't know, because I am very grateful for Jesse being in my world.
But how much time have you given over to thinking about the most important person in your life?
I don't know. It's weird.
A minute, if that?
Yeah.
So if you've only given a minute over to thinking about the most important person in your life, it's fair to say that the other people in your life haven't even focused in your thoughts at all. So why would you think that you're any more important in someone else's life? Because they're not thinking about you. And when you realize they're not actually thinking about you, why would you be worried about what they're thinking about? Because they're not thinking about you.
See, this is it, right? There are quite a few important people in my life. And I do have a life of gratitude, especially over the last, 18 months, mate. And we talked about our businesses going down. And I think we did that before we started recording as well. But my business, I had two businesses. One was a keynote speaker to crowds of people. The other one was a magician entertaining crowds of people. And all of a sudden, the government said, we're not allowed any crowds of people. So my whole self-esteem thing just hit the deck. It just went. And the funny thing is, I can count on these hands the people that were around for me in that first 4 weeks. Mm. But then when certain people, and that bloke who's listening in on mute at the moment is definitely one of them, when certain people gave me a kick at the right time, that's when I went, right, time to start playing again, time to start fighting again, time to start thinking again.
But there's a lot of love out there for you, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, and you're well-respected. Forget the fact that we've become friends. You know, I knew about you beforehand. You're well-respected, and I've never yet met a person that says a bad thing about you. But here's the thing. Your negativity bias will always go to somebody that said something 10 years ago. You overheard it or whatever, and you'll be thinking that. And that's the key. You know, that's where you're going to go. If you had, if somebody gave you a list of 19 things and said, Paul's a great guy, da-da-da-da-da. Just one thing, Paul, the thing you could really work on is there's a little bit of your presentation skill. You don't mention X, Y, and Z at the beginning of your talks. When you go to bed at night, what are you going to be focusing on? The 19 good bits or the one that you didn't?
Mate, when you're stood on stage and you've got a sea of people in front of you laughing and smiling and clapping, the one you notice is the bloke who's got his arms folded and doesn't want to be there.
Absolutely. You love your wife. You go to kiss your wife every morning, the average 30 days in the month. You kiss her every morning and you say, I love you, babe. The 30th day, something's on your mind, an email or whatever, and you go and you just kiss her and you don't say, I love you, babe. Does she remember the 29 days or does she remember the one?
Our relationship's funny. She'll be back. She'll get here, Newton. Come here. Explain yourself, then give me another kiss.
And I'll be like, it's all sorted.
Right, I know I have this issue, and I happily talk about it with Jesse. I do talk about it with my wife, and me and you have touched on it before. But there's not many people that really know what goes on in my head, apart from those that I've just explained. But you know what? If the one thing that anyone gets from listening to this show today is, if you're thinking bad things about you all the time, you're not the only one.
No.
I do it constantly, and I need other people to give me a kick up the backside to be productive sometimes.
Yeah.
And from what you're saying, Paul, it's quite normal.
It's absolutely normal. You could have 100 people queuing up at your door now telling you what good bloke you are. The only person you'll listen to is the one that resides in the 4 inches between your ears.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And here's the thing. When you can, Michael Jackson wrote that famous song, The Man in the Mirror, saying, if you want to change the world, change the person looking back at you. And I had the same thing. I've been divorced twice. Amanda's my third wife. You get to your second divorce, it doesn't matter what the circumstances were, you've got to start looking in the mirror.
Ouch.
And going, what is it? Where is this going? Because you can't apportion blame. Deal with you first. And here's the thing. I believe wholeheartedly that if you can learn to love yourself, respect yourself, and praise yourself and be kind to yourself, you can really love, respect, praise, and be kind to other people.
Yeah. But isn't that funny? Even in that, mate, I would focus on the other people before me.
Yeah. Well, here's the analogy I use for my clients every single time, and every single client gets this story. You've all been on international flights, like all good passengers, you always listen to the safety brief. And the steward or stewardess will say, should the cabin decompressurize? Oxygen mask will fall down from the center console. To operate the oxygen mask, give it a sharp pull down, and then place the mask where?
On your own face.
Before?
Before helping others.
Why?
Because if you don't look after yourself, you're going to be rubbish to help them.
Absolutely spot on, and that goes with this about everything. And as a result of that, learn to embrace two words. No. I know I can't help you today, honey. I've got some problems on my... I promise I'll give you a ring tomorrow. Or no, mate, sorry, I really can't do it today. I've got some stuff I've got to do for my wife. And selfishness. Not selfish like, no, you can't play with my toy, but selfishness with your time and with your energy, because you're the most important person in your life.
It really does feel like I'm getting told off today, Jesse.
You notice I didn't point my finger, because I learned a long time ago that if you point your finger, there's three pointing back.
Yeah, we're on Zoom. I'll just reverse the image. Right, a little while ago, I took some time out and I went camping. I needed to. I just needed some time away, and it was just with my buddies, and it was me and three other blokes who were in their 40s, and we just acted like idiots. Didn't get drunk, really, because we don't need to. We can be stupid without it. But it was just downtime. And do you know what? I came back from it. Yeah, I've told you earlier about the mosquito bites. We don't need to go public about them. They were just bad. But I told you, mate, I came back from it absolutely revived. Oh. When I came back from it, Jesse almost had this little speech lined up of, as things are growing and as things are getting bigger and faster, you need to have 2 or 3 days out every week, because we need you on top four. And he's right. And I've been harsher with it. And it's quite funny, because me and Jesse have arguments the wrong way round. Okay. I see other business people who want the business partner or the assistant or the PR guy or whatever to work harder. We're gonna build it, work harder. Whereas me and Jesse are like, time's your wife home. Well, right, we stopped working before then because you need a night out with your missus. And the other day, Jesse called me up for something. He goes, what are you doing? And I went, I'm playing Xbox with Little. And he went, I'll talk to you tomorrow then. Bye. And just hung up. It's like, yeah. Because we both respect and want each other to have good times with our loved ones.
You need to do it. And you need to invest in yourself as well, because, you know, you've got your car. Let's say the average, I don't know what the average value of a car is. I mean, I drive a Honda Jazz, so I've got no room to talk. But let's say the average value of a car is 12 grand. And yeah. It costs you with insurance and MOT and all this sort of thing. And you spend all this money and you get the MOT done to make sure your car is running correctly, because it's worth something to you. It needs to be running. How much money do we spend daily, monthly, yearly on ourselves, making sure that we're running on all four cylinders? When was the last time you had a massage?
After a car crash 10 years ago.
When was the last time you did I don't know, what they call an alternative therapy, like Reiki or an Indian head massage or anything of that nature? When was the last time? When was the last time you had a therapy session? When was the last time you paid out money keeping your car on the road?
About 5 months ago.
Yep. Absolutely. And here's the thing. The car, 12, 15, 20,000 pounds, is a depreciation asset. If you earn 20 grand or 30 grand or 40 grand, you're an appreciating asset just with the retail price index. Yet we spend nothing on keeping that thing firing on all four cylinders.
I've got to tell you, right, Jesse, the people who listen to the show a lot know that Jesse has a way to send me notes while I'm doing interviews, okay? And he's just pointed out that I seem to be having a therapy session right now. This is good. Thanks, Jesse.
Mate, I love the fact that I can help people out with what I do, but most conversations tend to be about trying to help people out. And, you know, people pay me to do what I do, but there's an awful lot outside of it that people don't pay me for, because it's a passion to see people firing on all four cylinders.
Mate, seriously, it's just weird. The three people that we're interviewing for this month's segment, because we do three interviews and then we do a Paul and Jesse show, and all three of you are focused on the wellness of people. All three of you are doing it slightly differently, but you're all focusing on how people can be the best.
Yeah.
And I'm now sat here thinking, I constantly put other people first. And realistically, would it hurt if I spent 50 quid on a massage or something? No.
I read an article the other day saying that the average male in the UK watches something like 22 and a half, 24 hours of TV a week. That's
slacker. Absolute slacker. I can beat that. We could.
That's excluding Netflix and Amazon, right?
Okay.
So I worked it out for me. I'm 58. Let's say I started when I was 8 years old. That's 6.7 years I've sat in front of the TV. If I took one of those years back, that would be 48 minutes a day I could have spent on myself. When was the last time you spent 48 minutes just on you? Not your kids, not your wife, just 48 minutes on you, meditating or just sitting down and reading a book, going out for a lovely walk, just on Paul Newman.
Yeah. Reading a book, maybe, because I'm back into... Do you know...
Every day? Every day?
I hate admitting this stuff because this is just not fair. And I've recently got glasses, okay? Because about a month and a half ago, I finally admitted that I was having trouble reading stuff that was close up. And lovely Mrs. Pawley said, look, we need to get you checked because that's quite serious. You know, you do contract stuff. You do reading. You've written a book, for crying out loud, Paul. You might need to be able to read the written word. So I went and had my eyes checked and they went, yep, you really need... They're a similar style to mine, and you've nicked my trilby look as well. I'm not going to be happy. But yeah, so for those of you who are on YouTube,
Jesse's doing it as well.
Look at that.
Look at you. You're gorgeous.
And actually, I think they do suit me.
They do.
With these. It just works. It's weird trying to interview you like that because you're too far away and you just go all messed up in my head. But even that, I haven't cared about getting my eyes tested for 20-odd years.
Yeah.
And even just going and doing that, I felt a bit guilty on spending money on the glasses.
Right. How much better did you feel after coming back from that camping trip?
Really good.
There's a message in there somewhere then. Well done, Jesse.
Hey, do you know what? Me and my buddies, we barbecued both days. We went crabbing. We played frisbee and we played football for 2 days. And it was like one of the best therapy sessions you could have ever had. It was brilliant.
Yeah. And how much, you don't have to, but we, this is live or not, maybe. How much did it cost you?
Oh, all in, probably under 100 quid.
Bingo. The last service and MOT you had in your car was three times that.
Yeah, it was.
Make sense?
I'm going to get Jesse to carry on the interview because then I won't get told off. Mate, do you know what? You're right. And I do appreciate it because of the time I kicked your backside when we went out for
you, mate, you kicked my backside before COVID when we were sat down having an ice cream. And the thing is, it's about asking those uncomfortable questions that you don't want to be asked and you're hoping that your mate isn't going to ask you. And you asked them anyway, which was really annoying. But they were the questions that have been going over in my mind anyway, but they're not real when they're in your head. It's like, yeah, I'll deal with it later. And then you've got somebody else who's holding you accountable. And I think that's one thing that's really good, having somebody hold you accountable for your behavior.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
It works. So I was accountable because once you'd had that go at me, and it wasn't a nasty go, but you had that go at me, it was a case of, right, I've told you stuff that's bothering me. You've now given me a way to help myself. I now owe it to you to do something about it.
And seriously, bud, you
because owing it to me wasn't good enough.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? When other people get involved, especially people who hold you in a high position in their mind as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
So well done, Jesse. Fair play to you, mate.
Both of you are annoying. That's what we're learning here today. Both of mean.
Yes.
And
guilty as charged.
And so is Mrs. Pawley.
Yes. But this is how much I wore my hat because you wear a hat. This is how much I love you.
This isn't part of the interview, obviously, but just quickly, are you going to Hook tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Well, see you there. That we're safe with that because tomorrow won't be tomorrow when this goes out. So it's not like I'm telling people where I'm going to be. So I'm kind of safe. It's all good.
So they can't rob your house.
Yeah, they can't rob my house or come and, you know, cuddle me. Weirdos.
Oh.
I miss giving people cuddles, Paul.
Well, I were at the thing that we're going to tomorrow, which is now last week. I wear a sign on my chest and it says, if you want a hug, put your hands in the air. If you don't, let's fist pump. Because there are going to be people, because of the situation, I appreciate it. I'm a hugger, you're a hugger. You know, if somebody wants a hug, I am up for it big time. But if they're not, I don't want them under any pressure. So if they read my sign and they put their hands up, it's all in.
But that's another thing, isn't it? I don't know how or why you and I get away with hugging almost everyone. Okay, and we have big alpha male guys who come up to us and we're like, yay, give me a cuddle. And they do. And I see other magicians try and copy me with that. And you just get loads of people going, no, never going near you. Why would I do that?
I think it's either in you or it's not in you. It's like the hypnotherapy side of our business, especially the therapy side of it, not the hypnotist, the magician, but the hypnotherapy side of it. You know, you can teach, anybody can learn hypnotherapy, but what they can't. So for instance, anybody with the right intelligence can become a doctor, but not all of them have got bedside manner. You can't teach bedside manner. You can't teach what it is that you and I have inanely in us to want to help. Yeah. Learning about hypnotherapy isn't going to make you a good hypnotherapist. Being a good human being and learning hypnotherapy will.
Yeah. Caring about those people is...
Yeah, and I'm going to take it back. Not being a good human, because I'm making sound like other people that learn it aren't good human beings. Being a good human being with empathy skills.
Yes. Being good with other human beings.
Yes. Not saying that other people who don't learn it aren't good. That was the wrong language.
And do you know what? We can mention the thing we're going to tomorrow, kind of, because we've done a lot of networking for business in the past. And you were saying that it transformed your business and helped your business loads. And tomorrow we're meeting at Only Networking, ONLE.networking. I'm sure Jesse's going to put the link up somewhere anyway, because they were one of our sponsors. So, networking now. We've had 18 months of networking online and only being allowed. Yep. And now we are allowed face-to-face. But like you said, if you want to cuddle someone, let's let them make the choice.
Yeah, which is why I give them every opportunity. I mean, some people just don't want to, and I get it. I'm not going to force them. I get it. It's your choice. I want to cuddle every man and his dog. And if you want a cuddle, I'm there for the biggest hug you're ever going to have. But other than that, the weird thing about this, when COVID hit and we all went on Zoom, the phrases were, are you on mute or can you hear me? Now that we've come out of it, the most common phrase is, I didn't realise you were that tall. Or I didn't realise you were that small.
Yeah, COVID's been good to me. I think the phrase is going to be, you got big.
Yeah, well, I think in terms of clothing sales, I think COVID has made shirts sales go through the roof. And waistcoat sales go through the roof. Boxer shorts, they plummeted.
Well, they're not needed anymore, are they?
Boxer short sales, because, you know, we have this COVID dress. I'm not going to stand up just in case I'm found out.
I don't want you to stand up in case I'm done. So, right, mate, we have been on here way too long. What I'm going to ask you now is the question that I warned you about, okay? This is the second one that I warn everyone that I'm going to ask. If there was one nugget of information that you could make sure every listener walked away with, what would that be from Paul Hill?
It's going to go back to what I said about being the most important person. It's look after yourself. Look after yourself first, because if you embrace that, it enables, like the oxygen mask coming down, it enables you to be the best dad you can be, to be the best partner you can be, to be the best brother, to be the best employer. If you look after yourself and learn to love yourself and be able to praise yourself, that's when the magic happens. And it can take time because you've spent, I guarantee you, the majority of the listeners listening to this, unless they've been on a huge self-development, to actually stand in front of a mirror and just say, I love you, will be an incredibly difficult thing to do.
Oh, yeah, even I had trouble with that. Yeah, just thinking about doing that, I'm going, ooh.
Absolutely, and it has to be done out loud as well.
Okay.
There we go. So just
mate, on the accountability stuff, I'm going to get myself healthier. I need to. I've got to. So I fully expect you to kick my backside on that. Okay.
Mate, Sam Griffiths says 777, I think it is. 7 hours of sleep, 7 liters of water, 7,000 steps. Because here's the interesting thing. You know the 10,000 steps? Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't come. Do you know how that came about?
No.
The guy, the Japanese guy that invented the pedometer, he called it 10,000 steps.
So is that,
that's how it came about. It's got nothing.
Hold on, there's no medical bias. There's no
nothing.
There's no
7,000 steps. 7,000 steps is the ideal, but 10,000 steps, that's because the Japanese guy that did it, Hirohito, Hami, whatever, when he invented it, he called it 10,000 steps.
Well, he's off my Christmas card list.
That is the nugget, ladies and gentlemen. Take that nugget away from you. Check it out on Wikipedia, because obviously everything on Wikipedia is true.
Yeah, 10,000 can go jump. We're doing 7.
Yes.
Mate, seriously, thank you so much for being here. I know that me and you can chat for hours, and I know we will do, and there will be ice cream involved again at some point. And if it's all right with you, Paul, I'd love to ask you back on the show one day when we've got time and when you want to. I think we could carry the chat on.
Mate, I would love to. It's always a privilege for you talking to me.
Yes, it is. Yes, hold on. I love you, Paul.
I love you too, Mr. Newton. Jesse, lovely to have met you. We'll have to meet up properly when this is, soon.
Soon. It'll happen, mate. It will happen soon.
I did say soon, not Zoom. Soon.
I reckon we're going to have a Newton's Nuggets networking session just for free, and all the people that were involved could get together.
We can all start swinging, flinging our nuggets about. How good would that be?
Get our nuggets out and pass them to each other.
It'd be a nugget fest.
Nugget fest.
Mate, I tell you what, that's got to be the title for a meetup.
I think there could be. Jesse, next year in the summer, the Nugget Fest.
Can you imagine? That'd be it, Nugget Fest.
Right, shut up. I'm trying to finish the show. Go. Ladies and gents, thank you so much for listening. We're now going to go to the bit where me and Jesse talk about Paul behind his back, and he doesn't get to listen to it until the show actually goes out, and he'll find out what we really think of him. Do you want to say bye-bye to everyone?
Bye-bye to everyone.
Yay. See you in a bit, guys.
Newton's Nuggets.
So, this advert is about only networking. That's theonly.network. Theonly.network. Now, it's business networking, but not as you know it. They've shaken up business networking by making it more about the people and less about the boring. Seriously, I go along to these network events. They're really great. They're run by really nice people. Every single group they have has people that want to love you and hug you and look after you. It just feels different. And you know what? If you go to one of their events, you might even bump into some dodgy bloke in a trilby and he'll look after you as well. Go and have a look at their website. It really is an awesome network to be part of. So there we go. That was Paul Hill. Jesse, I told you he was lovely. He is a mate of mine. He blatantly hasn't listened to the show before. He was a really good guest.
What was really funny, so because you won't have seen this because it was sort of behind the scenes, when he first came on, he was just like, he was chatting to mostly Paul, and then he just turned and looked at me and was like, so who are you? And I was just like, I could tell you haven't listened to anything Paul's done for 18 months.
but then the weird thing is, Jesse, on the flip side of that, do you remember I took you into an online networking group a little while ago?
Yeah.
And Jesse, in his normal life, stays hidden quite a lot. But now in his I'm doing stuff with Paul life, he gets noticed quite a lot. And I took him into an online networking thing, and it was so funny because he was already in there. Then Jesse's face appeared, and almost everyone went, Jesse! Hey! You then just saw this Jesse who was like a rabbit in headlights going, how do you know?
Hi, everyone. Well, to be fair, I was just like, I know you because I've met you in networking. You've been on the show. You're booked for the show. And the other 15 of you, I've no idea who you are. But hi, thanks for knowing my name.
It was so funny. It was so funny, mate. And I was sat there trying not to run over and go, it's okay, I've got you. Don't worry. Don't worry. They're people. But yeah, it's getting weirder, isn't it? It's getting weirder. And people are I've kind of got used to that because I've done stage stuff for so many years. I'm used to some people coming up to me and knowing who I am when I haven't got a clue who they are. But yeah, Jesse, that was a bit of a, whoa, what just happened?
I like to be on the other side of the camera, not speaking. So,
mate, do you remember back now nearly 2 years ago when I said to you, just point the camera at you. I'll ask you a couple of things. If you'd said no then, you'd have been safe now.
Yeah.
Oopsie. So, over to Paul. Right, I completely, pretty much everything that Paul Hill said, I'm so behind that. The fact is, as human beings, we tend to worry about everyone else too much. We don't look after ourselves enough. And I know I'm guilty of it. I worry about how my wife's doing, how my daughter's doing, and my family okay, blah, 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 blah. And I hardly ever stop and go, how's Paul doing? Because I seem to think I've got to keep running and I've got to keep doing and doing and doing to keep everything else spinning.
Do you know what was really interesting for me this last couple of weeks? Because we've basically had two people on who would probably at some level would call themselves hypnotherapists.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul, literally his business is everyday hypnotherapy.
Yeah.
.co.uk if you're wondering. So I know you're a bit like this, but you work in the world of hypno with the magic side of things. But from somebody who would only normally see hypno stuff through hypnotherapy,
yeah,
I know, because we had a chat about our listeners and the sorts of people we attract, and I know there'll be quite a large percentage of our listeners who are not into things like alternative therapies and things like that.
Things and that I would lovingly call woo.
Woo, yeah. But the thing that struck me with the two people we've had on is they're not very woo people at all.
No.
And knowing about stuff that you do, the NLP, the new neuro-linguistic programming type stuff.
Yeah.
I've done that through leadership training.
Yeah.
I've talked to you about a bit before about being out going up and doing presentations and speaking to crowds of people, and I've been through NLP to help me with that, and the science behind that is science and it's understandable. So I was a little bit on the fence with the hypnotherapy stuff, but what I've realized with talking to people like Paul is actually where this comes in is that real therapy side of things. And what they do essentially is provide a therapy service for people irrespective of whether they've got something wrong. And it's something that both the last couple of weeks I found really interesting. And there's something that I've been seeing going around on Instagram, a lot of people sharing recently, a thing that basically said, you don't have to have mental health problems to need to go to a therapist. And it was exactly that to me. This it's almost a bit like what's it called when you if you injure yourself and you go to like a sports Paul and Jesse trying to talk sports, prepare for some silence,
sports and physical stuff, which
physiotherapy, there we go.
Just because I said physical, your brain went
I got it. So you know, people think of physiotherapists and physiotherapists about getting better from an injury, but then you go to a personal trainer to get to improve yourself. And that's kind of how I've seen things going out down with this, with the, you know, you might go to a psychiatrist or something for your mental health, but actually a lot of the hypnotherapy stuff that we talked to Paul about was very much about improving yourself. And you might not see like major problems as such, but that doesn't mean that you can't build on things, whether it's your self-esteem.
And the self-esteem, you know, part, that was massive, wasn't it? It's,
yeah,
you know, realizing that, and me and Jesse do talk before we record these intros and outros. And we were talking about the self-esteem part. And while we lovingly said Paul Hill didn't know you very well, but he's really talking your language with how beautiful people are when they don't realize how beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I laughed because he was like, I don't know who Jesse is. But then he said about working on self-esteem, he said, you need to realize that you're as beautiful or handsome as you are. And it's very funny because I talk about that a lot with like the wedding photography I do. It's, you know, I always say I don't need to do huge amounts of photoshopping or getting people to do stupid stances and poses to make them look good. They already,
oh, and by the way, if you do the weird pouty thing when you're working with Jesse, he will possibly slap you.
I have never slapped anyone, Paul, but I will disallow pout trouts in my photos.
It's so fun. So fun. When he sees other people do it and he's just like, no.
But I've worked with people recently and every selfie they have on their social media has the trout pout.
Yeah.
But I didn't need to mention it to them because the way I work means that they don't even think about it. But that's just...
But then I've also seen a load of your work where you've done engagement shoots and things like that. And I'm like, what a stunning couple. And then you go, yeah, but they didn't think they were.
Yeah.
And it's testament to the way you work, mate. People forget to be... People forget their self-imposed issues with beauty when they're working with somebody that's as good and relaxed as you are, okay? And you get gorgeous results from people who I would hands down say they told you they hate having their photos done because they always look rubbish.
Yeah.
Because I know that people say that to you. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's not what we're here for today. We're talking about...
I was like, thanks for the... We moved on to the advert section.
Yeah. I think you're allowed a sponsorship section. You've never been paid. So, you know, but he does. And you know what? I'm going to move on to Paul's nugget. Because I've heard before from other people and from Paul himself about you've got to look after yourself first. In any emergency, you've got to look after yourself first. And do you know what, ladies and gents, we are in a weird emergency situation. We're now trying to come out of this whole COVID thing. We're now trying to get ourselves back on our feet. We're trying to get the country and the world back into some kind of normal. I don't think COVID's ever going to completely disappear. I do, however, hope that in 10 years' time, we're talking about it the same as we talk about foot and mouth that happened about 15, 16 years ago. And halted our country for a while. But when's the last time... Something Paul said in the interview, which kind of floored me, was when's the last time you had a massage?
Yeah.
And I stopped and I thought, the only time I've had a massage was after I'd been in a car crash. And the doctors had told me there was nothing else they could do. And somebody else told me, go to this guy, he's amazing, he'll help you realign everything. One massage on the day I hated him because it hurts so much. But seriously, mate, the next day I got out of bed, stood up, started to get dressed like normal. And then I was like, hold on. I had trouble getting out of bed yesterday. And because he had done something and realigned certain parts of me that I couldn't reach,
you make everything sound saucy.
I know. I just, it's a skill. It's one of my very few skills. Things sound so dodgy. But actually, Paul's right. And I've never done like a spa day type of thing because I'm a bloke. I don't do that. But then,
yeah,
why not? actually, Jesse, if we get the venue to word it in the right way, we might be able to have a Paul and Jesse spa day and claim it back on the business.
yeah, I will have Jesse, to pay for Jesse, my wife Jesse, to be there.
Jesse, better, I've got this. If you own a venue in Hampshire or Dorset and you want us to review your spa day, get in touch now. There you go. See?
I like it. I like what you did there.
It's not going to happen. It's... if it does ever happen, the six people that listen to this show will go, that was brilliant. That was just brilliant.
I love that you think it's only six people.
Mate, do you know what? It scares me already how many people listen to this.
Yeah.
And even after our chat today, still amazing. And when we get to where we now think is possible, oh my God.
Right.
You need to go do stuff with your wife. That sounded worse than it was meant to.
I need to go and say hello to my wife.
Right, ladies and gents, Paul Hill, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, amazing. And
yeah, mate, look after yourself first. If you're in a plane, if a plane's going down, put your mask on first, worry about your oxygen, then help others. And if you guys need any hints and tips how to look after yourself, message us. We have a around the UK. Yeah. We will tell you where to go. See, that sounded wrong as well.
Yeah. Look, let's just leave it there. Don't forget to leave us a review. Love you.
Jesse, everything I'm saying today just comes out rude. Can you do the ending for the show? And I'll just go quiet for a bit.
Okay. Right, everyone. Been lovely to have you. Thanks so much to our sponsors. Thank you to Paul for being a guest. Thank you, listeners. We don't know why you keep coming back, but you do. Say goodbye, Paul.
Bye, Paul.
Lovely. Thank you. Don't forget to leave us a review. Love you. Bye.
That felt wrong.
Don't need you.
Bye.
Bye.